are not created equal, at least in size. Millions of little boys grow up to be short men. And if you're not one of them, you're about to find out how size can dramatically affect a man's life.
Stu is the shortest.
How tall are you?
I'm 5 foot.
What would it take to get a date for Stu at just 5 feet? First, we made him an up-and-coming actor.
No.
No.
Not.
Then we said Stu had made millions by age 25.
No.
No. Not for me.
Nothing worked.
How come nobody picked Stu?
He's too short.
He's too short.
Too short.
We asked if there was anything we could add to make Stu irresistible.
Maybe the only thing you could say is that the other four are murderers.
Right, or convicted of some crime.
Definitely.
Child molesters.
Psychotic.
Well, isn't that interesting? I often get asked this question by people who have newly learned about how women work, or people who are still in denial of the problems that we face today. They will say something along the lines of, I understand women now, but I can't imagine living a life without a wife or children. How can I go on without women? Their entire identity is wrapped up into those two things. The idea of having a good wife and kids is a nice sentiment, but you have to understand our circumstances. You don't have that choice anymore. We will have to take a different path, and here's why. For the past 2 decades, if not longer, we have been told about how horrible it is that men objectify women for their physical attractiveness. Certain figures like Tom Likas have countered that with women objectify men for their wallets. You know, women objectify men too, just differently. Actually, the feminist doctrine is even more hypocritical than that, because women objectify men physically in the exact same way that feminists have said it's not okay for men to objectify women.
Tell me what the women's reaction is when you say you've got someone short-er.
Short-er. 2 inches? Let me think about it. 4 inches? Are you crazy? No.
And don't think, just because a woman is overweight, that she will lower her standards.
I don't care hair color, eye color, skin color. They need to be tall. Sorry.
She still wants the tall, broad-shouldered guy with a good jawline. Physical traits are highly important to women.
But you have no interest in going out with someone shorter than
no.
you.
No.
There's a reason that women act like this. Their natural function is to determine the genetics of the next generation. If one tribe has women breeding with a mix of short and tall men versus a tribe where women only breed with tall men, the tribe with only tall men will wipe out the mixed tribe.
I would think I don't want short little kids. I was thinking like...
Back in the past, we were constantly under threat of being tortured, enslaved, and murdered by other groups of people. Breeding a genetically weak group of children could lead your tribe to a very gruesome death. Genetic vetting keeps your tribe alive, but in Western culture, where we are far removed from the natural world, this vetting becomes a huge problem and leaves women dangerously unsatisfied. An OkCupid study from a while back revealed that women consider 80% of men to be below average in attractiveness. In the past, that didn't matter because women did not have access to every 6-foot-tall man with six-pack abs and a six-figure salary. But with all the dating apps, now women do have access to all the highest quality men, and the women don't even have to work for them. The men seek her out, and the sex is consequence-free unless she chooses for it not to be. This creates the problem of ever-increasing standards and completely entitled attitudes. It has gotten so bad that even bisexual women do not want to put up with dating other women.
Exhibit A. I was on a first date with a girl who asked me out, by the way. This is relevant. Because when the check came, she never once made a move to pay. Not even like the fake, let me reach for my purse move. And though I don't mind paying on a date, part of me felt like, you know, the offer would have been nice. I was also a little taken aback that she didn't even say thank you. And I never heard from her again. It really made me feel like she just asked me out so she could have a free dinner.
As time goes on and communications technology gets better and better, this problem is only going to get worse. Fewer men are going to have access to good women. The second issue is that the well has been poisoned. Even if you manage to find a woman you are attracted to who is also attracted to you, even if she magically becomes a traditional woman after hitting the wall, a very large percentage of them are damaged goods who you would be better off without.
There was a study that was done in Australia on college campuses that basically tried to measure how many women have experienced or it had a very small fraction of men in that too, but it was predominantly women. How many have experienced sexual assault and things like that on campus? And the number came back and it was very high. But what they'd included in that was like leering, like someone leering at you.
From the wonderful people in Australia, just looking at a woman is considered sexual assault. Since rape is sexual assault too, looking at a woman without her consent is basically rape. You can't even look at a woman anymore without being accused of a crime. Unless you're attractive, women don't care if Brad Pitt stares at them. If you need more evidence of that, then just look at the Twilight films. How many chicks creamed their pants over the vampire Edward, who was a stalker that watched a girl sleep and wanted to kill her for food? Their fantasy was to be with a boyfriend who wants to murder them. But that's all fine because it was Robert Pattinson. What about wolf boy Jacob, who ends up being a pedophile in the last movie? That's not creepy, right? Let's continue.
I have been personally affected by sexual harassment and assault.
I was very deeply like triggered, I hate that word, but like brought back that memory of being touched on my back in a way, because that was like how I was held in the moment something happened to me. And it was really hard for me to like accept hugs and like all the like positive touch I needed after that happened. Because it instead like was taken from me as a positive thing and turned into a negative. And it was like, it just sits with you. It's, whether it's dormant or active and present, it's with you.
The reason I picked this out, even though she doesn't talk much about her assault, is because she does something that points out that she has not dealt with that event. It's important to be able to vet this kind of thing because you never want to be in a relationship with a trauma survivor if they have not undergone extensive treatment. Those women will make your life a living hell. When she describes being triggered by a touch on her back, that sounds like she responds to danger by freezing. Freezing during an assault is a conditioned response that is learned in childhood from women who were molested or severely abused at a very young age. If you are a child and you are faced with an adult who is 5 times your size, you cannot fight back. The only thing that will save your life is to lie there and do nothing. When a woman like Chelsea describes her traumatic rape as an adult, she is really talking about her untreated rape that happened when she was around 7 or so. Women who get raped as adults, or even as young as 14 to 16, who are not raped as children, do not freeze. They kick, they scream, they bite, they report the rape. But Chelsea is so afraid to speak up that she can't even call her experience a rape or an assault. She instead calls it the moment something happened to me. She hasn't dealt with what happened to her. The way you deal with past trauma is to arm yourself with information so that it doesn't happen again. You use the trauma to strengthen yourself instead of letting it weaken you.
What's going to happen in 6 months or in a year from now when we've had a great relationship and it comes to its natural course of end and something happens where she's got this idea in her head that I did something to wrong her? All she needs to say is, he sexually assaulted me. He did something. And then it's he said, she said, and I lose my job. I lose my income. I can no longer support my boys.
That does not happen.
Brett Kavanaugh, Mattress Girl, Duke Lacrosse, and there are many more examples where those came from. When women flail their arms around saying, believe all women no matter what, that's our truth, they aren't attacking the person being falsely accused. They're attacking their rapist from the past. Until they stop avoiding their problems, they're going to keep attacking innocent people with no evidence because innocent people aren't dangerous like murderers and rapists are. They are a safe and easy target for those women to vent their anger on. So those are the problems. Most of the attractive women who are in the available dating pool have either damaged their ability to parabond by having sex with 10 to 20 guys by the time they want to settle down, or they have damaged themselves by not dealing with past trauma. When they settle with you, they don't become magically satisfied with what they got. They are still unhappy that they didn't get one of the top men. The only reason that they settled down with you is because they needed someone to support them. She is not attracted to you on a basic level because you aren't one of the top 20% of guys. Or, as the problem gets worse and the standards get higher, she will be mad that you aren't in the top 10% of guys. That resentment will be carried out as a crappy relationship. She can cheat on you and have a kid with someone else while telling you it's yours, or she can take out all the anger from her childhood trauma that she hasn't dealt with and use that to ruin your life in divorce court. It's a relationship that you are better off without. So if it's not safe or fulfilling to live in a relationship with women, then you'll have to learn to live without them. I like to think of this problem in the mindset of addiction psychology. Most men are addicted to women and the idea of a relationship. Addicts use their drug of choice as a life preserver because something is going wrong in their life. The problem is that if you just focus on the life preserver and you don't swim your way out of the ocean, eventually you are going to drown. The answer to getting rid of your addiction to women is to start fixing all the things that are wrong with your life. Take care of your physical health, start eating healthy, and start exercising. Take care of your economic well-being. If you are not financially well off, then do not waste tons of your time playing video games or building skills that do not lead to money, like basket weaving or archery. Save those hobbies for the time after you have a good paycheck and after you have no debt. Once you have your life in order, you are not going to care about women or relationships because you won't need them anymore as a life preserver. The only thing that is going to solve society's relationship problems is technology. We aren't going to shame women back into traditionalism. Instant access to tons of men will prevent that. However, red-pilled men are not here to die out. We are here to identify the problem and create technology that coincides with our natural human behaviors in a way that is fulfilling to everyone. The answer is to create a technological replacement for women. That way, with sex dolls, no one will need to have promiscuous sex. Everyone will get their perfect partner, and we can end these stupid gender wars. Until that exists, keep working on yourself and keep bettering the world in any way that you can. Otherwise, we aren't going to get there. With that said, I think that will be enough for this video.